Ah, what a weekend, huh? Gee willikers. Gee willikers. Dean's teaching was fantastic. Luis, I remember when I first met you and Patty, and you weren't married, but I could tell you were going to be married. And when I first met you, your heart and your life and your whole body exuded thankfulness and joy. And we've had such a great weekend, haven't we? Gosh, these things go by so fast. We've gone over joy and rejoicing. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Enjoying our relationship with God. The doctrine of the mystery. Being happy. Be of good cheer. The joy of deliverance, the power of a thankful heart. Oh boy, that was a good one. And then doing God's word and having fun. Dean makes these stories up about me. I never threw anything at him. You all know better than that. Yeah, I did it. And today I'd like to share a little bit about how important fellowship with God is, which has been covered, but you know, it's okay to cover something more than once. The principal key to a successful Christian life is fellowship with our Heavenly Father. That's the greatest way to live. It's the greatest way to succeed, is to have fellowship with your Father. Just like an earthly father has fellowship with his children, and when he does, it's just great. And when that fellowship is broken, it's not so great. But as believers, we basically manifest the more abundant life in direct proportion to the fellowship that we keep with our Heavenly Father. And of course, it all started in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, which you all know, or if you don't, you've heard it. When we got born again of God's Spirit, where it says, what does it say? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. And that's interesting, that word heart again, which Joe taught, is your mind. You confess it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, your mind, and that God raised him from the dead, and then you're what? Amen. And at that moment is where the beginnings of our fellowship with God started. And at that time, perfect fellowship is established. All the rights and privileges that we've been freely given by our Heavenly Father are now there to manifest, to live the righteousness, the completeness, the redemption, the reconciliation, everything at that one moment of time. All of a sudden, you got everything that God has ever given. Everything God has ever given freely, you have at that one moment of time, just when we got born again. And at that time, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can you imagine that? It's having the righteousness of God. We have the righteousness of God. That's why we don't have to have any fear going to him. That we can establish our lives by just living a life that's free from guilt, sin, condemnation, shortcomings, anxiety, fear, doubt, worry, the whole enchilada. And what a great way to live. Free. Dean taught it. Free. Liberty. Was that you, Dean? Yeah. Free. I grew up in the 60s, kind of. I was living in the San Francisco Bay Area at the time when there was a huge movement in the United States of America where people from all over our country and also the world gravitated to this small section of the world in the San Francisco Bay Area to promulgate and to promote peace, to love and all that stuff. And boy, oh boy, it seemed like a good idea, but because there was no foundation, it fell apart. People are looking for what you have. They're looking for the freedom that you have. Why do you think God gave us a brain? Evidently, a very small part of the brain is utilized by humans. I don't think God made a mistake when he formed, made, and created man. He gave us a brain to think God's word, to put God's word in there. He gave us eyes so that we could see the word in others and see right from wrong. He gave us ears so that we could listen to those things and really listen to those things that are right and true. He gave us hands so that we could hug each other, so we could touch each other. He gave us a mouth so that we could speak the word. He didn't make us a mouth so that we could hurt people, be mean to people. Nope. He's made us righteous. That's a pretty doggone cool thing. And you know, when you believe and accept your righteousness, you're not going to condemn yourself. Go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. You know, I moved to New Jersey in 1982, where I was given the assignment to oversee the state. And in around 19, I don't know, I got kicked out of the way. So it was 1989. I think I quit. I don't know. It was one of the two because it was awful. It had turned into an awful thing. And so we were left with the, you know, what do we do? You know, how do we proceed? How do we go forward? And I got a job as a brick mason and continued to do my best to teach whenever I had the opportunity. And slowly but surely, God just took care of it. Steve Zalesi got sent here in a just a very good time. These men that have taught are just the salt of the earth. There's no better in the whole world, you know. Somebody mentioned how Joe is the greatest teacher, you know, and that's all true. It's all true. There's nobody better than these guys that have come before you and shared their heart. But this is not like, this is like nothing compared to what they do. They live, they help, they serve, they bleed their hearts out for all of you. And they do it day after day, hour after hour, week after week, not because they're compelled to do so, but because they have the heart of God living in each of their lives. These men are tremendous tupos, examples, living imprints of how the word is supposed to be handled and how to help and assist others in walking with God. See, we're here to help people establish their fellowship with God, not to get them to break fellowship with God. And when you slam people in the head too much, that's what ends up happening. You could be dead right, but dead wrong. Thought I'd share that. These men and God are just something else. And we've been very blessed through the years to be able to work together. Dr. Werwell once said at a clergy meeting that I was at that the key to God's word moving are gift ministries working together. And these men, we've always worked really well together. It's very rare that we disagree on anything. And if we do, we hold it in abeyance until we can agree. And it's worked. Somehow, by God's grace and mercy, it's worked. And golly, I just think that there's 670 some or something, whatever it is, people here. Every single believer, every one of us, we have perfect standing with the Father as sons. Every one of us. Can you imagine that? Every one of us. Even me. But to say that we're unworthy or we're unfit or we can't do it or this is just denying what God says we can do. Or saying you're unrighteous, you're not good enough, you did this wrong, and all you're doing is thinking about what you did is wrong. That's not God's will for us. That's not God's will for us. God's will for us is to just be in that great alignment and harmony with him. And in 1 John chapter 1, you can go there. I'm not going to quote the whole scriptures to you, so you got to do some work. Let your fingers walk. They used to say that when we had telephone books. We don't have telephone books anymore. What kind of crap is that? No telephone books? No, these big old books, and you just put them someplace, and they just don't do anything. But I miss those books. First John chapter 1 and in verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, has cleansed us from all sins. In order for a believer to walk in the light, you got to inject your mind and heart in the word of God, which has been so brilliantly shared this weekend. In Joe's teaching on putting the Bible in your mind, in your heart, that's the key to life. That's what will help us be able to maintain our fellowship with God. Living as God's word says should keep us in fellowship with God. And our fellowship depends on that, walking with God, walking in his word, and so on and so forth. And I want to read from the New Dynamic Church in the chapter called Fellowship is the Secret. I read this chapter quite a bit throughout the course of the year because it's very simple, but without the truth that's conveyed in that chapter, it makes life a waste of time, whether you're a believer or not a believer. What good would it be to be a believer and never to be able to enjoy life, like Dean said? It says on my copy on page 75, fellowship with God as our Father is the secret to spiritual happiness and power in our day-by-day walk on earth. Wow, what a statement. Without fellowship with God, we cannot bring forth the fruits of the righteousness which we receive from God. Fellowship makes the life of the family life a happy one. Broken fellowship doesn't break the family relationship, but it takes all the happiness out of it, out of the relationship. If your son disobeys you, he's still your son. It is the fellowship between the two of you which has been injured. Fellowship is the one thing that makes for a happy situation, both in a human and a spiritual family. Fellowship with God by way of the renewed mind is the key to power. And one on page 77, it says something else I want to read. Broken fellowship takes the zest out of Christian living. When a son is in fellowship with his earthly father, he'll enjoy the rights and privileges. But when he's out of fellowship, he'll be miserable and defeated. Likewise, a son of God out of fellowship will be miserable and defeated. So broken fellowship takes the joy out of living. It takes the zest out of the Christian living. And you know what attracts people to God's word and want people will want to go see your fellowship or what you have is the love you've got, the joy that you display in your life, and also the power that you manifest. Also the power, Bob's teaching last night was just great. You know, he's looking for that wall that killed 27,000. He's still looking. And see Bob and Karen geocaching, looking for the wall. But you know, it said in Corinthians, I thought of this last night, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. You know, that's a great figure. God isn't foolish by any means, but he's way wiser than us. And he's way stronger than the strongest of people, Anthony. Stronger than even Anthony or Chris Cruz, for that matter, a very strong person. So fellowship with God is the key to our spiritual happiness. That's the key. You want to be happy? You really? Do you want to be happy? Do you? Yes. You want to stay happy? Establish fellowship with God, because that's the key to the renewed mind. Being walking with God, it's the only way to live as more than a conqueror. If you want to be more than a conqueror in every situation and application, then establish great fellowship with God, because that's where it's at. And look at 1 John chapter 3, 1 John 3. First John chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. If our heart doesn't condemn us, then we have confidence. We have boldness. We can approach God in just a very, very wonderful way, with confidence that he's listening, confidence that he'll answer, confidence he'll take care of us if our heart doesn't condemn us. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. That's how fellowship is. We do the things that God wants us to do. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, like I opened with. That's how God gets blessed. That's what makes him happy. What makes him happy is when we're in fellowship with him. What makes us happy is when we're in fellowship with him. So that would make a good case for being in fellowship with him. What do you think, Andrew? You think that's right? That's good. That's good. I want, you can go to Psalm 73. Whenever and wherever we fail to get our prayers answered, the cause is broken fellowship, either not knowing what the Word of God says, or not living the Word, or not believing the Word. In Psalm 73, I was thinking of this morning, that this would be a good place, be a good time to share this. Here was a man of God. He was a prophet. He was a wonderful man. He was a musician. He was a singer. He was a tremendous man of God. He was a prophet. He was fantastic, Asaph. And he had some rough days like any human being. 73rd Psalm. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as of are a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well near slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For some, that's a temptation to look at others and go, man, I wished I had what they had. Do you see the house they had? Oh, I wished I could have that house. I just live in a little shack, you know, so you can get envious. Or why can't I be as good looking as Joe Armstrong? I know a lot of you have thought that. Why can't we be that good looking? I don't know. You get envious of Joe's looks. Genetics. I was envious at the foolish, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There's no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. You know, we've all done this. We've looked at other people, and we go, man, oh, man, oh, man. But, you know, as my friend Raleigh Williams says, all the glitters ain't gold. You know, just because something might look good doesn't make it so. It could, but not necessarily. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. They're corrupt. They speak wickedly concerning oppression. Of course they do. They cause it. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens. Their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, as people return hither, and the waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, well, how does God know? Boy, there's a lot of people like that. And is there knowledge in the Most High? How could he know? He doesn't even exist, because they speak loftily. And they say, you know, how does God know? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've worked the word. I've prayed. I have done my best. And yet these guys have everything and I have nothing. He's looking without. And if you want to be discouraged, look at other people and go, oh, man, they're so great. I'm so bad. This even happens amongst believers. Well, God don't call junk. Every person in the body of Christ is equally important. So don't think anything like that. Asaph's looking off and he's saying, man, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I've washed my hands in innocency. All the day long, I'm plagued and chastened every morning. Do you think, Luis, that he was thankful? No, Not at this particular moment, he was not. As a matter of fact, he was very unthankful. He was very unthankful. He had forgotten it a little bit. We're going to get to this. It's very, very important. Sound like Curly and the Three Stooges. Verse 15, if I say I'll speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. And when I thought of all this stuff to know this, it was too painful for I couldn't take it. So he's out of fellowship right now. He is not in alignment and harmony with God. He's not remembering. He's not thinking correctly. Until verse 17, rather. Until, what a great word. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. And boy, being in fellowship and getting out of fellowship is also like a twinkling in the eye. Because our brain, you know, we have to stop it sometimes. And this is what he did. Until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down unto destruction. He's remembering how they're brought into desolation as in a moment. They're utterly consumed with terrors. They end up freaking out and being afraid as a dream when one awakeneth. So, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. Now he's starting to condemn himself. He remembers, and now he goes, oh, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. And now he's back in. Nevertheless, I'm continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. See, he's back in alignment and harmony with God. He's remembering his relationship with God. He's now blessed. Before, when he was looking without at other people, he was discouraged. He was like, man, I've wasted my whole life. I could have been like them. I could have been like them. Now he remembers their end, and he also remembers his relationship. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth, verse 25, that I desire beside thee. I don't want to be like them, God. I want to have fellowship with you. My flesh, my heart, they fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Boy, look at verse 28. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord thy God that I may declare all thy works. Great reason for putting your trust in God is so you can declare his greatness. We've talked about it a little bit this weekend about how important it is when something great happens. Like I know there was a lot of healing that happened last night. It was fantastic. It was fantastic. And I'm sure there's more that I don't know about. Three of you told me that you got healed last night, and that's great. And I'm sure there were more. So that's good to talk about healing. It's good to talk about deliverance. I mean, you know, I know experience is no guarantee of truth. I understand that. But I know that believing inspires believing in others. What is the book of Acts? It's experiences of believers and the great power of God that was displayed by our Heavenly Father. What is the Gospels? It's experience. What is the Old Testament? Experience. What is your life? You know, some of us have been in the Word. I've been in the Word 51 years or whatever it was, 50 years. And you know, that's half a century. That's half a century. And in that time, I've sure enough got to see a lot of great things. You know, Bob was talking about strange revelation and all that stuff last night. I asked Jesse's wife once to stand on her head in the middle of a fellowship because allergies were bothering her so bad, and she got instantly healed. Now, that's pretty stupid, isn't it? Except for one thing, she got healed and she believed. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do that. But, you know, he remembered, And once he remembered, he got in fellowship with God. He remembered God's power. He remembered God's deliverance. He remembered God. He remembered his relationship. Those are happy thoughts. Not one of us, when we remember those things, are bummed out. We're happy. We're thankful. All the things that have been shared. Look at Psalm 77. So looking without makes you discouraged. Looking within might even be worse. And that is displayed by in Psalm 77. I cried, verse 1, with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and cleansed and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. You ever get there? I have. Where you're bummed out, and no matter what anybody says or anybody does, or you read the book of Ephesians, it just, your soul is still sucks. It refuses to be comforted. And you know, I've attempted to try to comfort people when they're just not having it. People have done that with me too. I'm just not having it. Don't ask me why. It's stupid on all of our parts. But Asaph, his soul refused to be comforted. Hey, and look at this one. I remembered God and was troubled. Wow. He was really bummed out. He was so bummed out when he thought of God. He just, I can't do this. He was troubled. I complained. Have you ever complained? One person said, yeah, that's amazing. It just proves that all men are liars. Okay. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I'm so troubled. I can't even talk. And I've been there. And many have also. I've considered the days of old. The years of ancient times, I call to remembrance my song in the night, song in the night. I commune with my own heart. Oh boy, that's never good. And my spirit made diligent search. Look at how bummed out he is. Look at how out of fellowship he is here. And you know, it's something that God would have this written in his word. This is a man of God. This is a tremendous man of God. Will the Lord cast off forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Those are dark nights of the soul. When you get so out of alignment and harmony, you wonder, can God get me out of this doldrum? Can God get me out of this situation? Or can God help? Is he going to help? Will he ever help? Now, I know you read, sometimes we read too fast and consider too little. That sometimes that may perhaps have happened to us. Can he do it? I've never wondered if God could do it. I've wondered, can I believe it? I have done that. You know, so will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable? Will he be gracious no more? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Consider these words. Don't consider them too long. All right. And I said, this is my infirmity. And here he gets back in. It's so great. This is such a great, these are Psalms are so tremendous. But I'll remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Here he goes. Come on, Asa, go get him. I'll remember the works of the Lord. Surely I'll remember the wonders of old. And see, it doesn't have to be something maybe that God did for you, but you could remember what God did for, I mean, I can go around this room. I know a lot of you. I know what God has done, and you can do the same thing. And then you can also think of what he did in the Old Testament. Think of what he did in the Gospels. Think what Jesus Christ accomplished. Peter and Paul accomplished, you know, quite a few things, right? And when we think those things, look at what, or even look at your own life, how God has taken you from the power of Satan to the power of God, from the depths of darkness to the light of the gospel of the glorious mystery. Boy, Think of that first time you got prayed for and you got healed. Think of the time when you just touched somebody and they got healed just like that. And you could go on and on and on. And that's a good thing to do, because that helps us remember the goodness of God. And that is what Asa does here. I'll remember the works of the old, verse 11. Surely I'll remember the wonders of old. I'll meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. And again, talk of all thy doings. Talk. God gave us a mouth to talk. If the word's going to move, it needs someone to move it. And it ain't going to get done now if no one will do it. Okay. Speak the word. Speak the word. Everybody this year has been speaking the virus, speaking the virus, speaking the pandemic, speaking the pandemic, pandemic. I hate that word. I hate the word COVID. I hate that word. Caused by the devil and his spirits. You know, everybody's brain's thinking about that. Well, damn it. We have God and his word. We have the goodness of God. We have the righteousness of God. And that's what people need right now. They need rest. They need peace. They need to be uplifted. They need encouragement. They need comfort. They need to be held and told they're God's masterpiece. People that are in the word need that. We need that. But we also need to give that to this world. We need to help this dark, cruel world with the light of the glorious gospel of the mystery. Fantastic. Yeah. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who's so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Boy, oh boy, Asa got back in fellowship. He got back in alignment and harmony with God. Go to 1 John. So when he looked without, he was very discouraged. When he looked within, he was completely miserable. Those are both straight roads to hell. In our life, meaning we're going to not be a happy person if we think those things too often. But we will be happy and we will have fellowship with God as we remember what he's done for us. Let's just read 1 John 1, verse 3. That which we have seen, and see, there's sight involved. That which we have seen and heard, there's hearing involved. Reminds me of that Acts 8, isn't it? Where they saw and heard the miracles that Philip did. They saw manifested. They saw manifested. By the way, a quick note on Dean's teaching. He said 2 Corinthians. It was 2 Chronicles 16:9. Those things that we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. And this could be a witnessing situation. You might be out witnessing. And so, you know, they asked Jesus Christ in John 1, where do you live? Jesus Christ said, come and see, you know, come and see. Come on, see where I spent the day with Jesus. They could spend the day with you. Declare unto you. And truly our fellowship is with God and his son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you. Why? That your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard with our ears, and we speak unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What a great verse to share right now in this world. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with God and we walk in darkness, we're liars. We don't do the truth. We're not telling the truth and we don't do the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship with God is incredible, and fellowship with each other is incredible too. This is so much of a blessing to be able to be with people who love God, love his word, love each other. It's a love fest is what it is. If we say we have no sin, I mean, you know, who could actually say that? I don't sin. What? You just did. You lied. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, and somebody brought this up today or sometime, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Only God can do it that quick. Your wife may forgive you eventually. But God does it right then, man. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and not just cover them, but cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. My little children, chapter 2, these things write I unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. For he is the propitiation, the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Can you imagine all the sins of the world? If people believe in Jesus Christ and claim their fellowship with God, every sin is cleansed. It's taken care of. And hereby we know that we know him if we keep his word. You know, that's what we do. Look at verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk. Yeah, even as he walked. The deeper the word gets into us, the deeper the fellowship we have with God. And you know, that Joe teaching was really tremendous. It was a tremendous sharing about those vitamins. You know, poison vitamins are just negative, lousy thought. I'll never forget that. But that was just such a tremendous, tremendous illustration and teaching. We need to load up on the good stuff, you know, the vitamin First John, you know, or something. We need to load up on vitamins that help us, I mean, really help us, and then be able to share those vitamins with others. People so often are very free with their evaluation on what's good and what's not good for people, and even suggest that people do this. Like during this devil spirit sickness stuff that went on this past year, zinc, vitamin D, and C. Okay, everybody heard that, great. But how about confidence, trust, faith? How about that? I mean, I'm not against C, D, and whatever, zinc, but I'm all for the word. We should be for the word more than any other thing, because that's what heals our mind. That's what heals our body. It's just what heals us. To walk in fellowship also is to walk in love. You realize, now here's a startling statement, as Dale Carnegie would say. When you're in alignment and harmony with God, you walk as Jesus Christ walked. When you're in alignment and harmony with God, you're in alignment and harmony with God. Jesus Christ was in alignment and harmony with who? God. Don't be afraid to say it. Walk in the light as he is the light. You know, that's an incredible thing to say, but I said it. It's the truth. Who do you have in you? Christ in you? So when we're walking in fellowship with God, we're walking like Jesus Christ walked. And you should think that way. You should have that sort of confidence, not arrogance, because that's not right. But have that confidence that God works in you. Like when I took Dean's paper, I don't throw people paper out away and say, I don't know, whatever I said. I'm sure that was God. It must have been. It made an impression on him even to this day. And it's your walk with God. But when you walk, you walk. And you can't be influenced by what people might think of you, how people may react to you. Because it's not really about God first, then. It's more about people. And it's not a good idea. But when we walk in fellowship, we walk in love. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world. And that's hard to do in this world because It's so in our face. Who read from, who was that? Oh, it was Luis. Yeah, your teaching really blessed me. When you read the quote from Dr. Worrell from the Power for Abundant Living class, if you put aside all reading materials for three, boy, if you added in there in our day and time, social media, and you put that aside for 3 months and did nothing but read God's word, you would not know yourself. And I suggest that maybe we do a better job of that in our own lives. Turn off the world's noise, because it's noisy. It seems like it's noisier by the year. Maybe it's because I'm old or something. I don't know, but it seems like it's always been noisy, but it seems really noisy. So we're not to be conformed by the world. We don't need to dress the way the world tells us to dress. We don't need to read the books, Twilight, because the world tells us to read it. We don't have to be conformed, but we're transformed. We're transfigured by the renewing of our mind that we can prove. And that means to put to test, put it to test. These scientists, these great scientists, they just guess. We don't have to. We can be transfigured by the renewing of our mind so that we can put to test that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, what is the perfect will of God? What? His word, which is still the greatest secret in the world, that the Bible is the revealed word and will of God. Man, oh man. Philippians chapter 2, you can write it down if you want to. Verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What an incredibly arrogant thing to think. You know, just like I said a minute ago, when you walk in fellowship, you're walking like Jesus Christ. Well, if you put the mind of Christ on, what do you think you got? I mean, you got the mind of Christ. Exactly right. And God's word in Philippians, which is a reproof epistle, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Fellowship with God is the only way to go if you want to live a great, great life, a life that is filled with your heart being free, your mind being free. I can't imagine, nor do I want to, what it would be like without God and his word and his people. You people, heal me. Your presence blesses my life in areas I'm sure I'm not even aware of. There's something to being together, which the adversary had done a great job this past year of keeping people apart. And for those of you who are still having a difficult time with that in South America, especially, God's got this. He's got it. He's going to make a way. And then there's going to be a big party. We'll have a Dean come down with some firkins of wine. We'll get 600 bottles of wine. There's 200 of you online right now, evidently. And so each of you can get 3 bottles. Isn't that something to look forward to? We were supposed to do a big party this year. We didn't get to do it. Not yet. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to close here. And as we're going there, I just really want to thank everybody that has helped with this advance, especially the people that live in this home, especially the people that live here. Thank you so much for all you have done and do. This home, and I don't know if you guys in South America know anything about it. You probably do because Bob's good at communicating, but we have had thousands of people in this basement through the years. And I don't remember when we get this place, 95, since 1995. And we've done fellow laborers, as Bob has shared, but we've done weddings, we've done recordings, we've done marriage advances, we've done Old Testament history, we've done so many things here. We have done so many things here this place has been such a blessing to so many people. Thank you. Just thank you for the people who live here now. You just are so wonderful. And thanks for all this. I am so ignorant concerning technical skills. I have none at all. And I don't really want to start getting into it now either. It's just too overwhelming for me. But all the people that work with Bob, making it available for this to go out in Zoom land, thank you very much. It seems to have worked really well. And I know you've put a lot of time and effort into it. And God will bless you back for your giving. But we really thank you too. And in Colossians chapter 3, and if you guys would pray for us, we're going to, starting tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, we're meeting with all the leaders here that and doing, going over stuff that we might want to do in the future and stuff like that. So if you could keep us in your prayers, we're going to keep going. We're taking this into this week. So appreciate the prayers. It'll be great. Verse 16, I want to close with this, which is a verse that was shared today also. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. No, just kidding. I didn't want to read it. Oops. I didn't. And then in Thessalonians, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. To the extent that God's word dwells in us, we'll believe and act accordingly. And as we do, we have great fellowship with God, and our lives will be fruitful because of this. You know, life isn't easy. It isn't, because there's a devil in this world. There's a life coming that it's going to be really easy. And that day is in the future. I don't know how long people live, but I know that eternity is a lot longer than the life that maybe we'll live in this lifetime. And that is something that keeps you going. That's something that keeps you moving, because there's a hope. There's a hope. And God wants us to have a great, great life. Jesus Christ declared he came that we could have life and have it more abundantly. And the more we're in fellowship with God, the more abundant life that we will live. And I just really, really thank you for your lives, each and every one of you. You are special to God, and you're special to this world. And we will continue to have a merry heart so that we can be healthy, physically and spiritually. Healthy, because a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Father, thank you so much for your love and grace. Thank you again for the privilege it is to be your children. Father, I pray for everybody that's attended this advance, that it's been a blessing to their lives, Father, and it's been helpful to all of our lives, Father. Thanks for all the wonderful word of God that was shared this weekend. And Father, for blessing those people for their giving, for their heart, and for their execution of their teachings. It's just so great. Father, we just ask you to continue to keep our hearts tender, loving, and humble. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless. See you guys later.